Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Studying and preparing for this morning's message, I just kept thinking, I don't want to miss a thing that God has for me or wants for me. I don't want for anything for my family that God has, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing for this church and this ministry. And I don't want you to miss anything. I want to talk to you about don't miss a moment. Don't let the move of God pass by without you acknowledging it. Yes. Be present in the moment God has you in. We live in a culture that sees everything through the corrupted lens of society. We have dehumanized each other to a place where there is a societal sickness and a collapse in humanity, and something's gotta give. And in the New Testament, something very similar happened. When Christ came to the Jewish people, the society rejected him. And they missed the moment to see Christ's identity and divinity, even though he was standing right in front of them. In John 2, 18 through 21, it says, "The Jews then responded to him, 'What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.' They replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?' But the temple he had spoken of was his body. They asked for a sign, but what they missed in the moment, that Jesus himself was the sign before them. That Jesus himself was the miracle standing before them. God is here and he is now. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment in this place, but don't miss the moment when you leave these doors. Don't miss what God is doing. I'm looking for the move of God in here. Is anybody looking for the move of God in his house? So we look for the move of God in his house, and we have great expectancy for the move of God in his house. But we need to take that mentality outside of this house. And when we leave those doors, we need to expect a miracle for our family. We need to believe and have faith and expect that God can do anything. Don't miss a moment to see God move wherever you are. Don't miss what God is doing all around you. God is working all around you. Don't miss it. Which leads me to my first point in the message. Number one, don't miss a moment to seek God. Don't miss a moment to seek God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Let me tell you something. When you genuinely tell God, "I want to believe in you." When you turn your face towards heaven and you tell God, "I want to believe," he will respond. When you tell God, "I want to believe in you, I want to trust in you, I want to follow you," God will respond. But we have to be ready for the response. Don't miss God's presence in your life because of your stubbornness. Don't miss what God is doing because you are so stubborn and so stuck in your ways. You do not have to have the answer to everything. You do not need to understand how everything works. Trust the Lord your God. We have to be ready for his response. Jesus is coming and he is working in each one of us to wake us up. You may think God's not working in you, but I guarantee the Holy Spirit is working in you right now, trying to take the scales off of your eyes, trying to crack open your heart and say, "Wake up, Jesus is coming." And for the grown children in here today, I commend you for coming to celebrate your mother. I commend you because the Bible says, honor your mother and your father, and you're on the right track because you came to church today to honor your mother, and I commend you for that. And your mother may seem like she's always on your case about coming to church and getting your life right with the Lord. And you may even be a little annoyed by it. Oh, it got real quiet. You may be annoyed that mama says, come to church. Get your life right with Jesus. You know he's coming back. You can see the day we're living in. And your mom is pleading with you, and you're almost just a little annoyed by it. You don't have to raise your hand. I can tell by the silence. But it is because your mother knows the hour is late and the day is short. It's because she knows you need Jesus. And it is out of the deepest love that a mother pours out concern for her children. She's not nagging you. She's standing in the gap for you. So what feels like nagging for you looks like standing in the gap, interceding for you, allowing her faith to guide you and move you until you get faith of your own. She is not nagging you. She is standing in the gap for you. She is loving you with great love, and it is because of that great love for you that she will not give up on you. She won't quit pleading you. She won't quit nagging you because she knows the time is short. And at some point, you have to get your own faith in Christ and build your own relationship with the Lord. Because mama can intercede and stand in the gap, but eventually, son or daughter, you are going to have to bridge the gap through Jesus Christ. And you are going to have to walk your own walk with the Lord, because mom can't get you into heaven. But what she can do is intercede for God to open up your eyes to see him clearly and for you to receive the son, Jesus Christ, and be set free and delivered. But you have to make the choice. And don't give up, Mom. Don't give up, Mom. If they're like, Mom, you're so annoying, don't give up. Be annoying. Be annoying. Be loving. Tell them the scriptures. Love them with godly love. Grown children, you're going to have to learn to walk the narrow road for yourself. Zacchaeus in the Bible understood this. He said, I got to see Jesus for myself. I have got to know him for myself. And in Luke 19, 2 through 6, it says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was. He sought to see Jesus who he was because he didn't want to just hear about Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus for himself. But he could not see for the press because he was little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Do you see how Jesus responded to Zacchaeus genuinely seeking him? Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and showed kindness to him. And you may be in here to honor your mother today, and you may think, oh, I hope hell doesn't freeze over. I'm stepping into church. They don't know what I've done. They don't know what I've said. They don't know what I think. But here you are. In the presence of Almighty God, in his house. And if you seek him, he will treat you like Zacchaeus, and he will call you by name, and he will show you his loving kindness. But if you're constantly standing on the outside, you won't be able to see him clearly. Sometimes you gotta climb a tree, and you have to quit running away and start running too. It's much easier to deny the uncomfortable truth than it is to deny comfortable flesh, because undisciplined flesh gets triggered in the presence of God. If you are uncomfortable in the house of God, it's because your flesh is triggered by the presence of God. And your flesh knows that it's not supposed to be doing what it's doing. And your spirit man is fighting with your flesh. The Bible says your spirit man is at enmity with the flesh, and it's a constant battle within. But when you seek God, you will find him. Yes. But you have to be willing for the truth to make you uncomfortable. You have to be willing for the truth to make you uncomfortable just for a little while until you get to the point of understanding by faith through grace. And your flesh is not always going to agree with everything God says. Your flesh isn't going to agree with everything God says because the flesh is of the sin nature. Your flesh is always at enmity with the spirit, so you must submit your flesh to the work of the Lord. Seek God through what tempts you, and he will show you a way out. seek him through temptation, and he will give you an escape. He will help you overcome. We have to quit allowing the world's and society's standards dictate how we feel, and we have to quit allowing feelings dictate how we live. My feelings are not greater than God's word. How I feel about something doesn't overcast a shadow on the word of God. The word of God stands true even through my feelings. And we must quit seeking in the world for what only Christ can provide. You want to be truly happy? You want to be fulfilled and content, satisfied, filled with peace, unafraid? Those things can only be found in Christ. We must learn to seek God through the pain. Seek him through the struggle. Seek him in both the highs and the lows of life. Seek him through your grief and let him comfort you. Seek him in the trial and seek him in the triumph. We must seek the Lord in all we do and in every situation. Which brings me to number two. Don't miss out on crying out to God. Don't miss out on crying out to God. Luke 18, 35 through 43 says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front of him yelled. But he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that man to be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want for me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. Listen, men and women of God, don't let anyone shut your cries up. You cry out to God. You cry out to God in the hospital room. You cry out to God in the courtroom. You cry out to God in your home. When you go to bed at night and tears just stream on your pillowcase, you cry out to God. And don't let anyone shut up your cries. Cry to him for your healing. Cry out to him for your marriage. Cry out to him for your children. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. And my cry to him reached his ears. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Cry out in desperation. You may be desperate in this room today. I tell you to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Just like a mother knows her baby's cry, God knows the cries of his children. And a baby knows to cry out to mama. And the children of God should know to cry to the Father, to cry Almighty God, cry out unashamed. When Tyler was fighting for his life, I cried out to the Lord. And I wish I could say that I prayed this profound prayer. But all I could pray was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, and I stood there getting ready, and I just hung my head, and I said, Jesus. I couldn't form any other coherent words. All I could form was the name of Jesus, but that was enough. That was enough. I speak the name of Jesus over you. I believe God hears the cries of even our simplest prayers, prayers that are from the depths of our souls, because we don't always know what to say. But we know who to call out to. See, I didn't have the words, but I had the name. I didn't have the words, but I had the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus was enough. Cry out on the front lines. Don't let the battle in front of you make you lose sight of God. Are you facing a battle? Yes. But cry out on the front lines because he goes before you. He stands behind you and he is beside you. So cry out on the front lines. Seek him in your battle. Exalt the name of the Lord. Bring him into your situation by calling his holy name. Cry out to the Lord. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Don't tell me my God cannot do it. We serve a mighty God. We serve the way maker, miracle worker. And when it's not in our power to do something, it's in his power to do everything. When I had no power to save my son's life, it was in God's power to save his life. And I could do nothing, but God could do everything. And maybe you're in here today and you are far away from the situation and you just say, I wish I could do something. Let me tell you a story of the official's son. The official was with Jesus and his son was at home sick. But do you know what happened? In the presence of Jesus, the official found healing for his son. At the very moment Jesus said, your son is healed, his son was healed. And when the report came back to him, he gave God praise. So if you're far from the situation, speak the name of Jesus over the situation. Send God's word to the situation, and God will be in the situation. Cry out to him in your situation, and you will find him working there. Number three, don't miss out on being obedient to the Lord. In John 14, 15, Jesus himself says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It goes on in John 14, 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We have so many people wanting us to be impressed with their sacrifice. But when we look at their lives, there is no daily obedience. God is not impressed by sacrifice. God is impressed by obedience. What is sacrifice without obedience? 1 John 2, 3 through 6 says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, he is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We see the world trying to lie about God and the truth of his word, and they try to change his word, and they say they know him. I don't know if you've seen any of these rallies. Oh, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. You're not living like you know him. You have to live like you know him. They refuse to live by his commands, and they twist scriptures to fit their agenda. And I will not debate with someone who tries to tell me they're a Christian and they follow the same Jesus as I do, but they do not live it. And I'm not going to debate that person. Denial of truth brings rebellion and lawlessness, but the revelation of truth brings obedience. There's a story of an Ethiopian eunuch, and he is reading the word, and he is not fully understanding the word. So Philip comes, and he explains it to him. And so he's reading Isaiah, and he's getting the revelation of Christ. And as soon as he gets the revelation of Christ, he said, look, there's water. Time to be baptized. The revelation of truth brings obedience. So when you get the revelation of Christ, you're saying, I'm going to get baptized in water because I'm going to show my faith to the world, and I'm going to be buried with Christ, and I'm going to be risen again as a new creature in Christ and have the newness of life that is promised to me. Obedience to God's word. If you want to know if you're living for the Lord, examine yourself and see if you're being obedient to his word. You can't act however you want to act. You can't do whatever you want to do. You now live for a greater purpose, and his name is Jesus Christ. Your purpose is to glorify his name with your life. The word says to love God first and place him above all else, to have no other gods before him. The word says to love your neighbor as yourself, to live at peace with one another, and to give to those in need. The word says, be holy, for he is holy. The word says, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. I cannot curse you when you curse me. I cannot insult you when you insult me, but I can pray for my enemies and I can love you. The word says to forgive because your Father in heaven forgives you. Do not set your heart upon revenge. And the Holy Spirit just kept on saying, someone in that place is going to seek revenge. You want revenge so badly, and you are eaten up with revenge, and you want to pay back evil for evil, and they hurt you. And I believe they did. And I believe that what you went through was very real, but I'm telling you, the revenge in your heart is destroying you. And God sees that it is eating away at you. Vengeance is the Lord's. Give it to God. It is time for you to forgive. And I know you went through something, but the revenge is not yours to take. Forgive, forgive, forgive. You have to know what to do, and you have to know what to say, and the word will give you the answers. There's an all-out war on what God's word says and what it means, and there's an all-out war on your soul. And they're not just coming for your soul, they're coming for your children's souls. So you have to be awake and alert, sober-minded, and it's obedience to God's word that will protect you in this war that we are in. The Lord corrects you to protect you. Correction is protection. God corrects those he loves. So if God is correcting you, listen. There's a reason the Holy Spirit is urging you to stay away from those people, to get those people out of your life, because they are not good for you. They're going to lead you down the road of destruction. So the Holy Spirit is warning you to protect you. There's a reason the Holy Spirit is telling you to not go there anymore, because it's not healthy for your soul. There's always a reason the Holy Spirit corrects you, and it's always to protect you. There's a quote that says, if you are at peace with God, you will be at war with your sin. But if you are at peace with your sin, you will be at war with God. Choose your war. Understand that the correction of the Lord does three things. It protects you from yourself. Sometimes you're your own worst enemy, but God's correction will protect you from yourself. Next, it will protect you from others. I wish everybody was well-meaning, but they're not. So obedience to God's word will protect you from others. And lastly, it will protect you from a future you cannot yet see. Obedience to God's word will protect you from so many things that you don't even know about yet. But when you're obedient, there's a seal of the Holy Spirit in your life. And my friend Brianna Azuna just posted on Facebook, and she's here today with her family. There will always be joy on the other side of obedience. Maybe not right away, but eventually. Stay the course. And when I read that, I said, you know what? That's true. When I am obedient to the word of God, I don't feel it right away, but eventually I find joy in the obedience. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. So I want you to be the light to this generation. Don't miss a moment to be the light. They may not always appreciate the light you shine, because light exposes darkness. But they will have no choice but to see the light of Jesus when you always come out on the other side with joy, when you always come out on the other side of the valley with peace and hope. Preach the gospel with words. Preach the gospel with your life. Show them the truth by your actions. And it's not about judging those who are lost. It's about showing them what life can be when they are found. It's about the liberty found in Christ. It's about the newness of life. It's about eternal hope that we have that we want them to have too. So when I'm shining the light, it's not to condemn you, but it's to show you that there's freedom in Christ. There is freedom in Christ.